Coming up this time, holiday memories with Brian Clough in the Spanish sunshine.
The best times I had with Brian was when we all went on holiday to Calamalore. We were just ordinary people. We played dominoes and we'd sit and talk. Just generally, I felt as though he was unwinding and he just wanted to be down to earth a bit.
You'll hear the funny story of the visit to one of Cluffy's former clubs during his retirement.
He says, come on, come in with me. So I went into reception and the phone was ringing. And he picked the phone up and he says, Brian Clough here, can I help you? I often wonder what the caller thought.
Plus an attempt to reunite Brian Clough and Peter Taylor in their later years.
I said to Brian, have you seen Peter? I've had a little chat to him. He says, is he all right? I says, yes, he's fine. I says, I asked him to come down. He said, oh, I wish he'd have come. That was a little opportunity that just might have got them together again.
Hello, everyone. I'm Martin O'Neill. You're listening to the Green Jumper podcast with Marcus Alton from brianclough.com.
Yes, welcome to another Green Jumper. And for this episode, I've been to visit one of Brian Clough's friends. He's Colin Shields, who became one of the few people, besides the players, who Brian allowed to travel on the team coach. They also enjoyed holidays together and would very often travel in the car together to special events and meetings. I've got to know Colin well over the last few years and co-wrote his book Champagne Memories, which is supporting good causes. Colin is now in his 90s and I went along to meet him at his home in Nottinghamshire. As part of our chat, he recalled his first meeting with Brian at Derby and talked about the subsequent impact Brian would have on his life.
I can't put it into words. It was amazing, life-changing, something that I'll treasure all my life. And it was so simple the way it happened. I was at Derby, of course, in those days, and I was having trouble getting some tickets. I'd been away on the Isle of Wight, and when I got back, they'd sold all the tickets, season ticket holders. And Michael Dunford, the secretary, said to him, I've been a supporter for years and you've done this to me. He says, oh, everybody says that, all good supporters. And Brian happened to walk in, into the office. He says, what's the matter, sir? Can I help you? And I told him what had happened. And he said, look, there's got to be some seats left somewhere. Have a look at these. He says, stick with that for this season, and I'll make sure you get your own seat back the following season. So that was my first introduction with him, and I thanked him. And then he came to, we had a supporters club in Nottingham. We used to meet in the Dog and Bear. And he came one night with Peter Taylor, Michael Keelan, who became a very close friend of mine, and of course himself. And we had a good chat that night in a... I was asking some rather stupid questions because I happened to be one of the, I wasn't the secretary, but I think I was chairman of the supporters club there. So that was, yes. That was the second time I met him.
Colin was part of the protest movement to try and get Clough reinstated at Derby following his resignation. He kept in touch with a mutual friend of Brian's and some years later was invited to Nottingham Forest's team hotel before a match against Leicester.
Michael Keelan became quite a good friend of mine. And he says to me one day, do you fancy coming to Leicester on Saturday? I said, yes. We went to Leicester and met up with the team. So we sat around having a drink. Next minute, Michael got a message and he says to me, oh, Brian wants some mannequins. I says, oh, I'll buy them.
These are little cigars?
Little cigars, yeah. I says, I'll buy them. And I took them to him and he says, you take them to him. I says, oh, I don't know. He says, well, here's his room number. So I went up and knocked at the door and there stood Brian. Hello. I says, oh, I bought you these. He says, come on in. And he had a little chat. And I went back down and I'm feeling a bit important. And we had lunch. And then there was a persistent supporter, I don't know whether it was Leicester or Forest, but it was harassing Brian about an autograph or something or other.
Yeah.
And I says to him, look, Mr. Clough's got a busy time in front of him. I said, just leave him alone and at some point you'll get a chance to get an autograph. And Brian noted that, and when we was getting ready to leave the post house, he said to the Liam O'Kane and company, he says, here's my new minder. And that was it, really. From then on in, our relationship grew and grew and grew and became to the point where it paid me the supreme honour by saying at one point, Colin, if I could pick a brother, it would be you. And, you know, that's something I'll never forget. And we became very, very close.
And that closeness meant Colin got to know the players as well, often staying at the same hotel as the team, as he became a trusted friend of the charismatic Clough.
One night we was in the hotel and he says, hey, Col, come with me a minute. So we went into the section where the players were and he says, Colin, he says, I've heard that last night that somebody in this room was calling me Beghead. Can you see him? And I look round and I'm looking at all of them. And all at once, Franz Carr says, it wasn't me, boss. So I says, certainly it wasn't him. I says, I can't see anybody here that called you Big Ed, Brian. He said, thanks for that. And we went back and he'd do that. And then he'd say, you're not here on a freebie, you know. He says, you're here because you're useful. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, the players like you. You're not in the face. You're good at pool. You can beat their players. You beat Archie Gamble, which they like. He says, we just like you around us. I mean, it went further than that. He'd say to me, on a Sunday morning, they used to have not a postmortem, but a review of what had happened over the weekend, including the game. Come down, he says, Colin. And of course, there was him and the chairman and probably Ron Fenton and one or two others. And I felt quite privileged. But the best times I had with Brian, of course, and his family, was when we all went on holiday to Callamalore. And we had some really good friends. There was a small group of us that was very personal to him. So we'd be in Callamalore and we were just ordinary people. We played dominoes. I couldn't play crib, but we played dominoes quite a lot.
He was quite a tough dominoes player, wasn't he, Cluffy?
He was tough at everything, snooker, the lot. If you partnered him, you'd got to be on your toes all the while. And if you played a wrong domino, he'd hit the roof. Not in a nasty way, you know, a bit of fun in it as well. Yeah. But I also had some very personal moments with him where he'd say, Colin, I want you to give me a hand tomorrow. So what's that then, Brian? He says, we'll take the laundry. And he winked. He says, we'll take the laundry to the laundry shop. So I used to go meet him at his flat, his apartment, and we'd have two bags of laundry. And we'd go down to the laundry shop, deposit the... And he'd say, let's go and find somewhere quiet. And we'd sit and talk about families, sometimes a bit of politics, not very often. But just generally, I felt as though he was unwinding. And he just wanted to be down to earth a bit, just to be ordinary, you know. And he's a genius, but an ordinary genius. I don't, you know, if you understand what I mean. Everything he said had a meaning, and when he came into a room, you felt a presence. I can't explain it. And being in his company, of course, you're fed off it as well. And it influenced me to be a bit more positive in my outlook on life. And certainly it helped me in my job, where I became known as Cluffy and criticised for my attitude towards some of them.
didn't he sort of talk about and compare your work with managing a football club?
Yes, he said. I said, the only difference, Brian, is you can find your players and hit them where it matters, as I can't. I said, if my team have a dispute, I've got the unions to deal with and everything else. I said, but there's a lot of man management. I said, and I'm getting quite good at it.
Coming back to Callum Ilor as well, there's a bit in your book where you talk about if he saw some youngsters, little children, eyeing up the buckets and spades, he'd want to treat them.
Yeah, it's a family, you know, it's a lady or a family with children or child, and they'd be there looking at the buckets and spades and all this sort of stuff and everything. And they'd pick what they wanted, and as they got them, Brian had brushed past them and go and pay for it. And sometimes he got quite a reaction. Obviously, a nice reaction for most people, but when the family was German or French or someone else, they hadn't got a clue what he was doing. And so that was quite amusing.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very generous. And when we were sitting, playing dominoes or anything like, what he didn't like people looking round the corners and everything. If he saw anybody, he'd say, "Hello, can I help you? Yeah, come here and have a minute." And he'd chat to them and where you're from and the rest of it. And these are my friends, and he'd sign them a few bits and pieces.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very affable towards people.
Now, I mentioned earlier that Colin was one of the few people besides the players who Brian allowed to travel on the team coach. And along with bringing chocolates and newspapers for the journey, Colin was also tasked with supplying pork pies from pork farms where he worked. They became a firm favourite with some of the players and the assistant manager Peter Taylor, although the coach driver Albert had his doubts.
Peter said they won the European Cup on pork farms pork pies. Yeah, I used to take them, and the players used to say they enjoyed them, keep bringing them. And then one day Albert came to me and said, "Colin," he said, "this pork pie business," he says, "can I persuade you to stop bringing them?" I says, "Well, I'd have to have a word with Peter Taylor about that, you know." He says, "Well, I wish you would," he says, "because what they're doing, they're eating the meat and shoving the crust down the side of the seats and in the toilet." He says, "and I'm having the right job cleaning the mess up." So I told Peter, and he said, "don't bring any more." He says, but in later statements, he said that they won the European Cup on Port Farms pork pies.
Hi, it's Tony Woodcock here. You're listening to the Green Jumper Pod with Marcus Alton.
Well, there's more from my chat with Colin Shields in the second part of this Green Jumper, but before that, I've been looking through the archives and found some wonderful newspaper articles about Cluffy's debut as a centre-forward for Middlesbrough. It was back in September 1955. Now, the match was a 1-1 draw against Barnsley at Ayresome Park. Now, the newspaper report here said it was a promising display by the 20-year-old centre-forward, although it does say he had a lot to learn still. And Brian was unlucky to have a goal disallowed, it says. And he was also compared in another report to Borough legend George Camsell, which was probably a good indication of what was to come, as he later set an amazing goal-scoring record for his hometown club. And one of the people who watched him in those days was Jeff Redman, who was just a young lad then, and I've been speaking to him for a future episode. So here's a short extract of his memories watching the goal-scoring exploits of Brian Clough.
You know, there was one match against Bristol Rovers, and it seemed to be that he was almost just inside the halfway line, and his shot must have been like, you know, 40, 45, they did say 45 yards in the Evening Gazette, and it just went into the top corner. It could just do that special thing.
As a youngster, idolising Brian, did you manage to speak to him or meet him when you were a youngster?
No, I would be too frightened. I used to stand outside. I used to stand outside Ayresham Park and wait for him to come past. But I would never dare go and speak to him. The closest I got to it was my son-in-law took a picture of Brian, which was one of my favourite pictures. It still hangs in the lounge, and it's one of him scoring a goal at Middlesbrough, and Brian signed it to me. But that's the closest. That guy, when he used to sitting in the newsagent shop.
Yes.
In West Bridgeford.
In Nottingham. Yeah.
In Nottingham. And when he was finished playing, and my son-in-law got it signed for me. So it hangs on the wall. It hangs on the wall. He's scoring a third goal against Bristol City, I think.
Oh, brilliant. That's Jeff Redman, who was just a young boy when he first watched Brian Clough playing for Middlesbrough all those years ago. And you can read more about Cloughy's playing days, as well as those memorable managerial years, in my book, Brian Clough, 50 Defining Fixtures, which is available on brianclough.com. And I'll sign it personally for you as well. Now back to my conversation with Brian's friend Colin Shields. Earlier, we heard about the times they went on holiday to Calimilor in the Spanish sunshine. And it turns out there could have been a momentous reunion.
And with Calimilor, there was a moment or a time you remember when Peter Taylor was also staying there.
Yeah.
They weren't working together then.
No,
they'd sort of split. And you tried to get them back together again.
I did. I was walking to the restaurant below Brian's apartment, and I was walking along the street, and I saw Peter stood outside the shop. I says, hello, Peter, how ill are you? I said, hello, Colin, how are you doing? You all right? I says, yeah. I says, you, yeah. I said, I'm just going to meet Brian. He says, how is he? I says, he's great. I says, are you going to come down and say hello to him? He said, who's there? I said, there's not many of us here on this occasion. He says, no, I don't think I'll bother. And that was it. I tried, and then I got to the restaurant, and I said to Brian, have you seen Peter? I've had a little chat to him. He says, is he all right? I says, yes, he's fine. I says, I asked him to come down. I says, but he just said no. He said, oh, I wished he'd have come. And that was it. It wasn't many, many weeks, months later, that we were at his funeral. And it's so sad because that was a little opportunity that just might have got them together again. And I treasure that memory as well because I tried.
As well as memories, Colin treasures a number of photographs, including the one on the front cover of his book, presenting Brian with a huge bottle of champagne. But there's another special photo that Colin remembers.
The picture that I would cherish most was when I took Brian to the league managers' meeting at Coventry. I went to the food exhibition at the Birmingham Exhibition Centre.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Coventry to pick Brian up, made myself known at the reception, and next minute Jim Hill come down. He says, are you Brian's driver? I said, I'm his friend. He says, come on up. I went up and I had lunch with all the league managers. And we had a photo taken. Ron Saunders.
Yeah.
Brian had a bit of fun with Ron Saunders. Graham Kelly. I sat with a past West Ham manager.
John Lyle?
Yeah, I had a good long chat to him. And Brian, we were talking about the supporters. And Brian says, hey, here's the man you need to talk to. He's a good supporter. So they involved me in the conversation. And it was an unbelievable experience. I've tried and tried to get that photo. The photographer's dead. His archives are at Villa. I asked Brian if he ever had a photo, and he said he can't remember having one sent to him. But I would love to get that photo, because I'm on the front row.
Wow. So if anybody listening knows how to get that photo...
Oh, it would be brilliant.
Get in touch.
Would be brilliant.
Yeah.
In later years, Colin would often meet Brian after he retired, and one of those meetings involved a visit to Derby County's stadium. It was a visit Colin will never forget.
I used to go and pick him up, and we'd go to various things, and he says to me, "Oh, I've got to call in at the new stadium, you know, Pride Park.
Pride Park, yes."
He says, "I've got to call in and pick some stuff up." So I'm driving, of course, and I drove him up to Pride Park. He says, "Come on, come in with me." So I went into reception, and the phone was ringing. And he picked the phone up and he says, "Brian Clough here, can I help you?" I often wonder what the caller thought. And just as things was getting a bit, you know, amusing, the receptionist reappeared and took the phone off him. So we had a bit of a laugh about that.
Yes.
In his book, Colin says that getting to know Brian made him feel like a football millionaire. He enjoyed opportunities and experiences he could only have dreamt about.
You know, when you meet a man like Brian, and you feed off him a little bit, obviously, and I did learn a lot from him. I learned a lot about life. Just a simple thing like going into a restaurant or meeting people. I have no issues with meeting anyone. I'm not fazed with anything. I'll go in any restaurant, any situation. That's all through him. Yeah. That confidence came from him. And certainly that's a good word, because that's what he gave me. Being around him, being associated with him, gave me confidence, which I retain to this day.
And the memories as well.
The memories. I'm getting old, and I don't look forward to the day when I can't remember these things. But some of the stuff is beginning to fade into history. And an occasion like this lifts me, because it reminds me of the wonderful times I had with him.
Well, thank you for sharing these memories. We've recorded them for posterity.
Well done.
And it's lovely talking to you, Colin. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Colin Shields' book is supporting good causes, and signed copies are available at brianclough.com. And to unlock a 15% discount on that and my other Clough books, just use the code GREEN15 at checkout. That's GREEN15. If you've got any Clough stories or memories yourself that you'd like to share, then please drop me an email. It's youngman@brianclough.com. Thanks again for your support. It's great that the podcast has been shortlisted for another national award. Details of that are on the Tribute website, brianclough.com.
And it was simple. It was simple. It was just ordinary way of life expressed in this genius way of his.
I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the green jumper.